know about you, but I love a baptismal service. I was going to preach tonight on Colossians chapter 2, and when I was told this morning that you were going to have a baptismal service, I said to Herb Brent, "Brother, I'm going to preach on baptism tonight." I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. And we're going to begin reading at verse 26. And we're going to read down to the end of the chapter. I want you to follow the story very carefully. Very, very important truths are gleaned from this passage of the Word. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. The eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Romans chapter 6, just for a few verses. The book of Romans in chapter 6. We'll start reading at verse 3, and we'll read down to the end of verse 6. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. God will stamp with his own approval the reading of his word. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer as we come to hear the word of God. Our God and Father, our hearts are thrilled this evening as we gather for a baptismal service. We pray for everyone who will take this great step of obedience this evening, that, O God, they may know in their hearts and understand in their hearts exactly what it means, exactly what they're going to do. Father, we pray thy rich blessing upon us, that even tonight we might hear thy voice, we might know thy blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the reasons I love a baptismal service is that it has something for everyone. For those of you who are in the meeting and you have been baptized, a baptismal service should be a time of remembrance. A time when you look back and you remember the time in your life when you obeyed the Lord Jesus in the act of baptism and when you professed to the world that you belonged to the Lord Jesus and you were going to walk in newness of life. I want to tell you something, child of God. That's something to remember. Telling a brother this morning, I was saved in 1966, and that was in September, and I was baptized in November of that year. It was a wet, cold night in the city of Belfast. The wind was blowing and howling, and I was freezing before I got into the church. And when I walked up to the front, there was the baptismal pool, and the steam was rising from it. And I thought, great stuff. I found out later that the reason the steam was rising is that they had found their water heater about 10 minutes before I arrived, and they just put it in, and the water was absolutely freezing cold. But I want to tell you something. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. When I went down into that water, and I went down under that water, I wasn't thinking about how deep the water was or how cold the water was. I knew in my heart I was doing this because Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, wanted me to do it. And if you take nothing else with you tonight, those of you who are being baptized, just bow your head and said, Lord Jesus, I'm being baptized because I love you and because I want to be obedient to you. Not only has it got something for those who are believers who have already been baptized, it's got something for the non-believer. You may be in the meeting tonight and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and don't understand the excitement and joy of a baptismal service. Let me tell you, my dear friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, this should be a challenge to your heart. It should challenge you as to why you have never come and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. For those who are being baptized, I want to tell you it's a special night. It's a night when you are giving a public testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ has become your Savior. Now everybody knows I'm an extremist. We do things a little different. You'd have been baptized in Sanford Chapel tonight. Friday and Saturday night's newspaper would have had a big square advertising a baptismal service. And your name would have been in that square. Because you see, I don't believe you should get baptized in secret. I believe that the people outside who are going to see you tomorrow, whether it's in school or in the office or at the stores, they ought to be able to look at you and say, you got baptized. And you ought to be able to look at them and say, yes, I got baptized because I'm going to walk and live as a new person in Jesus Christ. I want to make one thing very clear right from the very outset. Baptism is not necessary for you to be saved. I got a glorious illustration one night. My son and his friend were on the computer and they were involved in a Christian chat room, and the person on the other side was trying to tell them that if they had never been baptized, they couldn't be saved. Well, you know, I could have given them an answer, but I stood and watched. And the next thing I saw were the words going on the screen to be sent to the other person. And it said this: what a foolish statement. Why should I go past the blood of Christ and trust in water that I might be saved? Do you ever think of that? Because anybody who tells you you've got to be baptized to be saved, they tell you you've got to come to Christ. You've got to be cleansed by His blood. But if you don't put your trust in the water, you're not saved. Now, I believe that though baptism is not necessary for salvation, I believe baptism is necessary for every saved person. You see, I can say to you tonight, you tell me that baptism is necessary for salvation, I tell you the man who died on the cross beside Jesus never got baptized. I can also tell you he's the only believer in the New Testament that I read of who didn't get baptized. You go and find me another person who trusted Christ through the preaching of the apostles in the New Testament church who the Bible tells you didn't go down into the waters of baptism and be baptized. You see, if you listen carefully to Acts chapter 8, you'll find that Philip preached to this man the gospel. He preached unto him Jesus. He preached to him about Jesus being the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, that Jesus is the one who was crucified, that he died for sinners. He was wounded for our transgressions. But listen to this. When they came a little further on their journey, it was the eunuch who turned to Philip and said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Do you know what that means? That means that baptism was part of the New Testament preaching. And I want to tell you, it's not part of New Testament preaching today. And it ought to be. It ought to be. But I want you to see this. Philip didn't look at the eunuch and say, "Well, yeah, sure, let's baptize you." Philip looked at the eunuch and he said this: "If you believe, you can be baptized." You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, was asked once to write a book on baptism. Instead of writing a book, he wrote a booklet, and on the front of the booklet it had these words: "Much water and believers only." You know, that sums it up, doesn't it? Much water and believers only. I had a man come to me not very long ago, and he brought to me a little boy, and he said, "Mr. Gould, we want you to baptize our little boy." And I said, well, why do you... Well, we want him to be a member of the church. I had to sit him down and say, my dear friend, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when that little boy can look me in the face and say, Mr. Gould, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's a candidate for baptism. Not until. And this man got really upset until we started looking at the Bible, and then he looked at me and he said, you know, I believe you're right. I believe you're right. And then I looked at him and I said, have you been baptized as a believer or were you baptized as a little boy like that? He says, oh, I've been baptized as a believer. You see, my Bible tells me, and you'll hear it as Brother Jonathan does the baptism, on the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ. That's where baptism comes. It doesn't save me, but it declares to the world that I am saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe it's important not only to be baptized, but to understand why you're being baptized. And to understand what the Bible says baptism really means. Then it becomes part of the growing experience of being a child of God. Well, what is the mode of baptism? Someone said his church is the hardest church to get into because before they let you in, they try and drown you. Believe me, we're not going to try and drown anybody tonight. Well, then why don't you just use a little handful of water like other people do? I don't care what they call it. The Bible never calls it baptism. You got that? You want to know the meaning of baptism, you go into Romans chapter 6 and you read the words of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul says baptism is being buried with Christ. I've never seen anybody at a funeral service put the casket down into the ground, lift a handful of dirt and shake it over it and go away and say, it's okay, he's buried. And I'm not being irreverent, I'm being absolutely serious. Baptism in the New Testament speaks of being buried with Christ. Well, the first question that brings up is, why do I need to be buried? And the next question it brings up is what happens after I'm buried? Well, you see, it says you're buried because you've died with Christ. You've died with Christ. And that's salvation. And if I've died with Christ, then I'm going to go down under the waters of baptism and I'm going to be buried. And then I'm going to come up out of the waters of baptism and I'm going to walk in newness of life. I'm going to live as a new person. I'm going to live as a person in whom Jesus Christ lives. See, that's what the apostle says in Romans 6. Listen to what he says. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That's his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, you know that's another word that means to put down under the ground. When I first came to America, I bought all these beautiful rhododendron bushes. And I'll put them about that deep in the ground. And they started growing a little. And then the frost came. And they all died. And I have a friend who's very good at gardening. And I said to him, can't imagine why they died. Well, he says, how deep did you plant them? Well, why is that important? I only planted them so deep, just so the roots were just covered by topsoil. He says, I'll come out and I'll show you. He came out and he took my garden spade and he put it down into the ground and he took a whole spade full of soil out. And he took the roots and he put them right down into the bottom of the hole and then he put all the soil back on top of them. They're planted now. Frost will never get near them, won't touch them. The Apostle Paul says, planted in the likeness of his death. Planted together in the likeness of his death. The mood is clear. The only way you can be buried in baptism is by going down underneath the water. You know, there's another little question I have for those who tell me you can just use a few drops of water. Philip and the eunuch are riding through the desert and they come to the water. The eunuch asks about being baptized and the Bible says, and they went down, both of them, into the water. Now, I've had people try and explain to me that they went down, both of them, into the water so that they could get a handful of water and bring it out and baptize them on the land. But I don't think so. The reason they went down, both of them, into the water was because Philip put them right down underneath the water. He was buried with Jesus Christ. And he was raised again to walk in newness of life. Now, if you want to go home tonight and you want to read Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 will tell you that baptism is all about the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. And the victory of Jesus Christ over sin. Let me just tell you very simply what everybody who gets baptized tonight is saying. They're saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. And because you saved me, I'm going to show these people that I'm not going to let sin reign in my life anymore. You are going to be in control of my life. And you know the word the Bible uses? Yield. To give in, to surrender. You know, when you got saved, you stopped fighting about salvation. You stopped fighting about believing. You surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you go down into the water of baptism tonight, you're saying publicly, I am going to stay surrendered to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to surrender to sin. Child of God, do you remember when you were baptized? It should shine in your heart as a glorious step of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, are you excited about being baptized tonight? Oh, you ought to be. For between you and the Lord Jesus, you're just saying, Lord Jesus, I'm doing this to obey you and to show these people outwardly what you have done in my heart when you became my Savior. And yet there may be one in the meeting tonight and you're not saved. You have no part in the death of the Lord Jesus, so you can have no part in the burial. And you don't get to enjoy the resurrection. Let me tell you something. As you watch these folks being baptized tonight, allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. Realize that you'll never be in heaven unless you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you one story as I finish. I preached last Sunday morning at Sanford Chapel. And a man came to me when the meeting was over and he put his arm on my shoulder and he said, "Brother, I learned today why people don't get saved." And I said, "You did? Why do they not get saved?" He said, "Brother, it's pride. They'd rather go to hell telling God, 'God, I know better than you. I've got my own way,' than bow their knees and say, 'God, I'm a sinner, and you sent your Son into the world to die for sinners. You send your Son into the world to die for me.'" My dear friend, if you're in the meeting tonight, put your pride aside. Take the place that Jesus gives you as a sinner in His sight. Receive the invitation to come and be saved. Then you can go down into the water. When you're dead to sin, you can be buried with Christ. And you can rise out of the water of baptism to walk in newness of life. We sing a hymn, "Up from the grave he arose." That's what baptism is going to be tonight. They're going down to be buried in the water. They're going to rise to walk in newness of life. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. And we thank you that everyone tonight who will go down under the water of baptism signifies that they are saved by faith in Christ. And that they are going to be buried. And that they're going to rise to walk in newness of life. Father, make this a special evening for them. Make this a time when you draw near and rich blessing upon their souls as they obey the Savior. And Father, we would not be unmindful of those who know not Christ, that even tonight, before it is eternally too late, they may come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. In Jesus' name, Amen.